Hey, it's Tim Jeffries checking in with Dan Rusinowski for our monthly podcast. Dan, how are you?
I'm great, Tim. I mean, what a time for the NHL. A fabulous season for the Sharks. Lots of ups and downs, crazy moments. But all in all, in second place in the Pacific Division, that's pretty good at this time of the year.
Let's talk about Joe Thornton. That's the one thing that seems to be on everyone's mind as we talk about the San Jose Sharks. They're 2-3-1 in Thornton's absence. Any word on his progress? What's up with him?
Don't expect anything, Tim. I think this is a relatively long-term injury, and so they're basically acting as if they're not even thinking about him being in lineup at the moment. And that's really kind of a look at the future, if you really want to be honest. You know, already the Sharks have shown that they could adjust without Patrick Marleau last couple months. And now with Joe Thornton getting injured and having to have surgery on his MCL to repair that, it's going to take a while before he comes back. And let's not forget, he's going to be 39 this summer. So this is a look at what the Sharks are going to be like long-term with Logan Couture and Joe Pavelski and Tomas Hertl and players like that leading the way. And it's been kind of nice to see how they've adjusted to that. They've done a really good job. The coaches have prepared them exceedingly well. And you can't really replace a guy like that. He's just such a big force inside that dressing room. And so all you can do is adjust to it. And I think they've done a good job of that.
I read through the knee injury. Joe Thornton remains a workout fanatic. He's been showing up regularly at the practice facility. He's been working on weights.
Well, he's one of the most unbelievable people I've ever met in this game. And, you know, everybody talked about Joe Thornton being this happy-go-lucky sort of guy. That's one of the reasons why maybe Boston didn't want him. They weren't sure where he was. This guy's been nothing but a total professional, one of the all-time greats in the game. And if you think about how he came back from last season's knee injury to start training camp and begin the season and then have the season that he was having when he got hurt at age 38, I think he's a candidate for Superman.
You mentioned that through his absence, other players have to fill his role. Who are some of the players who have been kind of standing up and making a name for themselves with Joe Thornton being out?
Well, I have to really look at a couple of guys. Number one, amongst the young veterans or more veteran players, Joe Pavelski has continued what he does as the team captain. That hasn't changed. Logan Couture, though, has got a little bit more heat on him right now as a member of this team because he really has to come through in a big way for his club, leading the team in goals. He's right at the top now in scoring. So he's really getting it done and coming through at big moments in big games and showing that leadership that everybody is expecting him to have, especially once Joe leaves, eventually for good, whenever that happens. But Marc-Edouard Vlasic on defense has done a fantastic job of scoring goals. He's got 9 goals right now, which ties his league high ever in a season, and there's almost half of a season to go, a little less than that. So he's providing offense. Brent Burns, of course, continues to do what he's doing. But to really answer your question, young players like Tomas Hertl, Chris Tierney is having a fantastic season right now. He's doing everything you'd ask of him as a third-line center. And Kevin LeBanc is really trending upward, too, for the San Jose Sharks. I think he's somebody that that I think is going to develop into a very solid scorer for this club, somebody that you can depend on the power play, and somebody that's starting to figure out how to do things when you don't have the puck in the NHL. So those are just a couple of the names of guys that I think are really rising to the occasion. And amongst the young guys, another one, Jonas Donskoy, a guy that had such a great Stanley Cup final 2 years ago. He's another player that just is reaching within himself and getting that little extra burst of energy that you need to make a good play. Those are things that win you hockey games.
You mentioned Chris Tierney. He's one of those guys who just continues to improve, and he may be, you know, on the verge of becoming a very, very good NHL player.
I've never had a doubt about Chris Tierney. I think that they wanted to put a little extra motivational pressure on him over the summer when they signed him to essentially a 1-year contract. And effectively, they offered him a qualifying offer, and they said, that's our offer for you. They didn't negotiate any further. They said, this is what we believe you're worth. We think that's fair, and we think that you have a lot to prove, and we expect a lot more out of you. And he really has taken the bull by the horns from that little challenge, you could say, and had a very motivated summer training. I don't know if you remember this guy. Gary Roberts was one of the great players in the NHL over his career, not only for scoring goals. He was a 50-goal scorer with Calgary one time, but he also was one of the best conditioned players in the game. And Chris Tierney took it upon himself to hire Gary Roberts, and he does this with several players in the Toronto area, and work out with him, live in the summer with him, train with him, change the way he eats. Everything is taken care of, and they teach these guys what they should and shouldn't be eating, which is a huge thing, and went over their sleep habits and things like that. And he has come back really a different person, just built much, much better, more ruggedly built for the 82-game schedule. A couple of other Sharks players have done it, but I think Chris Tierney went that extra mile, and I think he's really starting to see dividends getting paid off, and that's going to be big, big, big time beneficial in his career.
And he's not bad of a figure skater either. I don't know if you saw the Upper Deck video that's out there.
I did see it. He's pretty talented. I think we might have to get Christy Yamaguchi in here to give him some lessons.
Well, that is just classic stuff as we head into the Olympics. And what I'm talking about is a video that we posted at kfox.com. It's a female figure skating coach with a group of rough and tumble NHL players in uniform, kind of going through some drills and figure skating moves. It's classic hockey video.
Well, that's for sure. Or trying to do figure skating moves in hockey skates. That's the other thing. I tell you what, there's a real good discipline for those athletes, and you have to really respect them, both the men and the women that are great figure skaters and competing in the Olympics. We're excited about that as much as we are the hockey.
Dan, I want to ask you about the NHL schedule, particularly the month of February. There's 14 games scheduled for the Sharks, 8 of which are on the road. Just seems like you guys are going to be away more than you're going to be at home that entire month. Why is that?
Yeah, it's only because the Sharks are a West Coast team. I think the Eastern Conference, they have totally different travel schedules. What they do there is they have a lot of little trips. They might have, it's kind of annoying almost for the guys. They always have to keep an extra bag pack because they end up, being home for one game, then away for one, then they come back. But it's only an hour and 10-minute flight everywhere, or shorter than that sometimes. In fact, the Philadelphia Flyers, when they play at Madison Square Garden against the Rangers, oftentimes charter a train, and they take an Amtrak into New York, because where it stops at Penn Station, you just go up the escalator and you're at Madison Square Garden. So that's one of the ways that they do it on the East Coast sometimes. But out here, you have to go out for a while. And I think it's actually more beneficial to the team's togetherness and really focusing on hockey. So we've been used to it out here for a long time. I think that Vegas coming into the league has lessened the travel a little bit, or at least made those 7-game trips now a rarity. We used to have 7 or 8 or even a 9 or a 10 game one time, but those are things of the past. And so now a 5-game trip, maybe 6 max, would be the ones that we would have. And if Seattle comes into the NHL as they're trying to get an expansion bid together, that'll help travel even more and make things a little bit more equalized. So that's one of the things that we have to deal with all the time, and it's something that that the players definitely have to be prepared for when they come out west.
Well, as the Sharks seem to be away a lot of the month of February, you'll be back a lot in March, and as you wrap up the season too at home with those 3 important games as we head into the Stanley Cup playoffs, which at this point it looks like the Sharks are in pretty good shape to make the playoff run, don't you think?
They're in good shape. They're playing really well. They're staying healthy, knocking every piece of wood possible. But you know, Tim, that's something that's not going to get decided until the very end of the season. And the reason why is because if you look at the standings, you're only a couple of points away from falling out. And one thing, as I've said to you earlier in an earlier edition of this podcast, is the Sharks have managed to stay above the fray. What I mean that is they're not in that group of teams that's hustling like heck to try to get into a wild card spot. Somebody like Colorado or Calgary or LA, those teams, Anaheim, those teams are all fighting to just try to stay with the playoff teams, whereas the Sharks are maybe a point or two ahead of that, and that they have that little cushion where if they were to lose a game here, it doesn't take as much to fight back. And of course, the wear and tear on the bodies and on the team emotionally when you're in a playoff hunt like that is really tough. So I think that's been really important, that the Sharks have been looking forward. They do have a rear view mirror. They do understand what's going on just behind them, but the fact that they're above the fray to me is very psychologically important.
Well, Dan, I always appreciate your insights. It's always fun to catch up with you and get the insight on what's going on with the San Jose Sharks. And we'll catch up with you in another month for another podcast.
Looking forward to it, Tim. Thank you.